So it's really thinking, when you go to buy something, what is it made out of? Can I reuse it after I'm done with its initial purpose? Is it something I can recycle, which isn't always the best option, but it's better than not being able to recycle it? And can I give this away to someone else when I'm done using it?
This is The Butterfly Effect, a podcast that shows the big impact a small action can do. Tali Orat is talking to those special people that make a difference with nature and trees.
Welcome, everyone, to The Butterfly Effect. My name is Tali Orat. I'm your host and your butterfly here. My special guest today is Ellen Williams. Ellen is Director of Advisory and ESG Services at Orion Global Solutions, a distinguished summit-level partner with Salesforce. With a rich tapestry of over 25 years in technology and business consultancy, Ellen seamlessly blends her tech expertise with fervent passion for environmental, social, and governance advocacy. At the driving force behind Orion Salesforce Net Zero cloud implementations, she champions carbon accounting and holistic ESG management for clients worldwide. Ellen wears many hats, from being positive change ambassador to pioneering the transformative 10 Seconds Pause initiative, promoting consciousness consumerism. Ellen's mission transcends business growth. It's about creating a ripple effect for a better planet. She communicates about a world of ESG, where doing well and doing good are two sides of the same coin. Welcome, Ellen, to The Butterfly Effect.
Thank you so much, Tali. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. And I would like to start with you sharing your journey from technology and business consultancy to becoming a passionate advocate for ESG issues. What motivated this transition?
It was really not so much a transition, although it looks like that on paper. I was raised by parents who were affected by the Depression. So sustainability when I was a kid was leftovers and hand-me-downs. So we were practicing sustainability before it was actually a word or a concept. Mm-hmm. I've brought that through into my adulthood. I've instilled that in my children, and I'm happy to report that I get a lot of sustainable gifts for my birthday and Mother's Day and things of that nature. So it was great for me to be able to marry that sustainability has been instilled in me since a kid with my career and technology. And that happened when I joined Orion. Our CEO was very passionate about sustainability and hadn't really implemented it into our own business yet. So I jumped on the bandwagon with him, and we built a resource website. And then as a Salesforce partner, within a few months of us jumping on this journey, they came out with a product called Sustainability Cloud, which then turned into Net Zero Cloud. So I became very interested in that. Obviously, we jumped on that bandwagon and became the first customer and implementer of the tool. And then I spent a good year taking all sorts of ESG courses, online courses, certifications, so that I could really talk the talk and not just, you know, sell a piece of software. And that just encouraged and exploded my understanding of sustainability, of ESG, and what organizations are doing about it, can do about it, and how that goes together with my personal and individual ability to try to do something about it.
That is very inspiring. So how do you aim to inspire businesses and individuals to take action in the realm of ESG and conscious consumerism?
Yeah, conscious consumerism. That's a big topic, and it's both organizational and individual. So we talk with businesses on the broader scale of carbon emissions, their energy use, their employee travel, and then how you can use that to analyze your actions to make reductions. On a more personal level, when you start talking about consumerism, you really need to take a step back and say, okay, do I need this? That was a tough one for me.
Yeah.
I am a collector, and what I collect is earrings. And every holiday, just buy me earrings. Now, luckily, I take care of my earrings, so they're very sustainable. I've had earrings in my jewelry box for 20, 30 years. But after a while, as much as I love them and as much as I scroll on my phone looking at them, I really do consider, do I need this? This is beautiful. I would love to have this, but I have 10 others that are the same color, maybe a different design. Do I really need this? And so I've really pulled back on the want versus need, because I'm just contributing to the continued production of stuff I don't need if I continue to buy it.
Right. Which leads me to your 10 seconds pause, right? To promote the conscious consumerism. So tell me a little bit about this initiative.
Yes, thanks so much for asking about that. So in conversations with small businesses, with friends, it really is that 10 second pause. Like I said, oh, these are beautiful. Do I hit shop now? Do I hit buy now? Or do I just scroll past and say, you know, that's beautiful and someone made that and someone else will benefit from buying that, but I don't need it. So it's that pause. If you're at the store, especially at the register where they purposely put those last minute, you know, impromptu decisions, oh, I'll grab this. That's when do I need it? Like, how am I going to use it? How am I going to dispose of it? Can I dispose of it? Can I recycle it? Can I upcycle it? Can I use it for something else? So, you know, simple examples are mugs. I have mugs that say all sorts of things on them. And some of my mugs are pencil holders or pen holders, right? Or they're on my desk holding things. Some items in my house have been repurposed to be something else. And it's that kind of thought. A lot of the plastic containers can turn into planters. So it's really thinking, when you go to buy something, what is it made out of? Can I reuse it after I'm done with its initial purpose? Is it something I can recycle, which isn't always the best option, but it's better than not being able to recycle it? And can I give this away to someone else when I'm done using it? So certainly, like children's clothes, you have to buy clothes for your children, but they're going to outgrow them. So the potential to donate them to reuse somewhere else is great. I've also seen where people buy clothing for special occasions, and then they reuse that fabric into, say, a personalized quilt. So it's that kind of, if I'm buying this, what am I going to do with it today? And what am I going to do with it tomorrow?
Yeah, I love that. It's interesting that you bring it up, as you get to the cash register, right, all the items that are there to be sold. And I kind of like want to switch it from the consumer to the business, right? Talk about balancing profit and positive impact. You are known for your belief that profitability and positive impact can coexist. So how do you achieve this balance in your work at Orion Global Solutions? And what advice do you have for businesses looking to do the same?
Absolutely. It's all about, I need to be able to do well in order to do good. So for a business to exist, it has to be profitable. So there's no reason to say you have to give all your money away or you have to change the way you do business in order to do good for the planet. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. have to be able to make money. So for businesses that are profitable, you know, it's people, profit, and planet. These are the things that you need to consider. And with the profits are where you can make a difference. So the donation of funds, the for your local community to do mm-hmm. something that is either good for the people who live there or good for the planet in that area. At Orion, we have taken the pledge for 1 trillion trees. Not that we're going to plant a trillion trees. So it's a trillion trees is their overall goal. And businesses can commit to planting a certain number of trees or a certain amount of money in order to plant trees so that they can get to a trillion trees. And that, obviously, that comes from our profits. So communicating that we or any organization, we're in business to do business, we're in business to make money, and we're going to leverage some of that profit back into doing good. Whether it's, like I said, local community, we do a cancer fundraiser, a breast cancer fundraiser. We do the planting of trees. There's some element on your bottom line that can be leveraged to mm-hmm. do something good for the planet.
I think that's wonderful that you're doing that. And I commend the planting trees, obviously, because that's what we do at 1 trillion. However, I'm just curious if you think there is something else the company can do in order to actually remove its own emissions versus just paying for, I'll use a little bit of a controversial phrase and say clean their conscience because of their push towards a bigger profit.
I like that approach. And I have to say, absolutely, you're able to see that in some organizations. We're a little smaller and we're driven by sustainability. So I'm happy to say we don't fall into that category.
Wonderful.
Reducing emissions comes from understanding what they are in the first place, right? So we're back to the implementation of the tool. When you mm-hmm. get that baseline, you start to analyze where your emissions are coming from. So for our customers, who are typically larger organizations, they have multiple locations. So we start to dig into location one has a carbon footprint of X, location two has a carbon footprint of Y. They are different. One of them's higher, one of them's lower. What's the difference? Is it square footage? Is it the hours of operation? Is it the utilities? What's making the difference? How many of your employees are traveling? How much of that travel can be replaced with a virtual meeting? How do you make adjustments within your organization so that your impact on the planet is improved and you have fewer emissions? And that's where you need to understand what your carbon footprint is, what your emissions are, so you can start to make those kinds of decisions. And we do have clients that are, you know, some of them doing the obvious, you know, you change your light bulbs so that they use less electricity. Mm-hmm. Some of our clients are moving to cleaner sources of electricity. We have one client that's a manufacturer that has their own solar farm on their property. So they're generating their own clean energy. And these are investments they're making, again, to do well and do good. And that enables them to show a reduction in emissions and the fact that they took action around some of the impact that they had by understanding what that baseline looked like. And so now they have a place to jump off from, a place to start in order to reduce.
And how do you measure the impact of the initiatives and the implementations?
So the tool itself, the way in which you understand carbon emission is by calculating the energy use, whatever that is, whatever it's utilities or fuel, vehicles. We have a construction company that uses generators and compressors, whatever that usage is. There's a piece called an emission factor. The emission factors are created by agencies or the EPA in the United States, and it takes into consideration regionally what the source of that energy is. So there are different mixes. Some grids can be a combination of fossil fuels and renewable fuels, and you need to know what that percentage is, and that's what they do. So you take your energy use, multiply it by these emission factors, and then you get what your emissions are. So it really comes down to being able to better manage your energy use. The simple way is the utilities and the employee travel, but other things could be, how often do you order office supplies? If you're a large organization and you're getting deliveries every week, then the trucks that deliver it are also part of your overall emissions, even if you're not necessarily tracking that. So Right. You want to start to consolidate that. Let's get a monthly delivery instead of a weekly delivery. How much paper do we need? How much are we using? Really take a step back and take inventory on what your business is using and how it's using it and how much you really need, right? The same kind of 10-second consumerism. Yeah. Businesses are our consumers as well. They're just B2B or business-to-business consumers. So it's really just understanding how the business is running. And what's really crucial is for sustainability /ESG, right? Environmental social governance, to be part of the conversation across the organization. Your CEO, your CFO, your chief financial officer, your CMO, your chief marketing officer, chief technology officer, like all of them, part of those conversations on those leadership board meetings needs to be sustainability. It's not its own department. It's not its own little part of an organization. It is a thread that runs through the whole organization. When you have that kind of awareness at the leadership level, it trickles down to the employees, and they can start making those kinds of decisions as well, not only for what they need to do their job, but that then turns into, what can I do as an individual when I'm out shopping and doing things in my home?
Yes, which basically is collaboration and partnership. And I'm just curious to hear from you, how important are collaboration and partnerships in your efforts to create a ripple effect for a better planet? And maybe you can highlight a particularly impactful collaboration.
So we partner with some ESG consulting companies, because we don't necessarily internally consult on what projects will make the most impact for our customers. We implement the tool that gives them the data and the analysis to communicate with an ESG consulting firm to create those. So we partner with several of those consulting firms in order to take the data and move it to the next step, identify what projects can be done and what their anticipated impact will be. And the data then can be tracked through the process of implementing that project to statistically prove that project did in fact reduce emissions.
What's the biggest challenge with that?
The biggest challenge is gathering the data. again, because it's across the organization, so is the data. Whatever systems an organization has, they have an accounting system, it does accounting. They have a customer relationship management system, typically for sales and customer support. They may have an HR system for all their diversity, equality, inclusion. They may have a system for travel. All of those systems are where we need to gather the data to put into the net zero cloud we implement, because it has to go across the organization. And this is really a challenge, because you're talking to other parts of the organization that aren't necessarily as well versed as you are in sustainability, as the sustainability lead in an organization. So you have to either get access to or communicate what information is required for them to gather from those systems and deliver to you. And when you're talking about true carbon accounting, it's broken up into scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3. And I won't go into too much detail, but there's a lot of information across those three scopes that are sources of emissions that you control and sources of emissions that you don't. So scope 3 manages sort of the upstream and the downstream. And especially for manufacturing, that's crucial. Where did the materials start prior to getting to you? What were the emissions to get them to you? What were your emissions in producing and manufacturing from all the multiple parts? And then you're shipping them out and they're getting, you know, purchased, whether it's a business to business or a business to consumer product. And then truly, what is your life cycle of your product? What's the end of your product? Is it recyclable? Is it a cyclical economy? Is it, you know, waste? And all of that really needs to be encompassed in the carbon emissions and the ESG reporting an organization does. And honestly, I have yet to see any of our customers be able to do that from start to finish. And right now, that's acceptable, I guess, to a degree. If you look at organizations reporting, and you can find them on their website for those who do report publicly, there's data and there's statistics and there's a lot of content around how we got here, what's missing, and how we're going to make sure it's not missing in the future. So the transparency in these reports help consumers and other businesses understand that, number one, at least that organization has taken the step to calculate their emissions and reporting it publicly. Is it 100%? No. Is anyone 100%? I'm not sure anyone out there right now is 100%.
Unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately, but, not.
Right. But we're moving in that direction for sure. And the supply chain is one of the biggest challenges to be able to gather that information.
Yeah. And data is obviously key here. Do you see AI supporting your work in any way?
So AI and ESG are an interesting pair. There's the ability for AI to truly dig into the data and do analysis that would obviously take us longer. And one thing I've learned about using AI, this may sound funny, but it thinks a little differently than I do. So AI can analyze and uncover things that people might not have considered or thought about looking at. So in that case, AI can be really helpful. The flip side of AI is right now, it causes a lot of carbon emissions. So right. The technology itself, the development of the hardware and then the data centers and the energy that the hardware uses and the energy that's required to cool it. So it's a mixed bag there. I really want to leverage AI, and certainly the tool we implement does have an AI element to it, and Salesforce itself is, you know, has a lot of cloud-based storage, which also has its level of emissions. Mm-hmm. So it's a balancing act. Can the benefits of AI reduce emissions enough to offset for real the actual emissions that they cause?
Yeah, interesting, which kind of like leads me to my next question, because this is, you'll think AI will support, but actually does the exactly opposite. So I'm just curious, what is one common myth about the work that you do that you would like to debunk?
There's a lot of conversation around sustainability and ESG in headlines, on the news, and certainly news feeds, and lots of communications around it. As a result, there are a handful of organizations and a handful of acronyms that go along with it, right? So CDP, GRI, CSDR, I mean, they're all over the place. And when those kinds of conversations happen, I think it becomes really overwhelming and overly complicated. That's not to say there isn't a complexity to it, but I think there's a simplicity to it as well, because it really all boils down, regardless of the organization, regardless of any regulations out there, regardless of any governments, it comes down to what we were talking about earlier, right? Doing well to do good. And what does doing good look like? And if everyone, right, from organizations to individuals to schools to everyone, if we all just tried to do good a little more, right? The simplicity is, do I need to buy that? How much do I need to buy for my business? Do I need to get on that airplane? Like, is there an alternative that's better for the planet for this action? And fill in the blank, whatever that action is. Then things start going in the right direction. And it's not because there's a regulation, or because there's a rating or a score you're trying to get to, or because there's an acronym organization that's, you know, you can do your reporting framework there. It's not because of any of that. It's because we need to do good to continue to be able to inhabit the planet. So if we bring it down to that simplicity, and we move that needle, I think it becomes the butterfly effect. Then it becomes the ripple effect. Then it becomes, oh, I get it. Now my emissions went down. Now, you know, this project that maybe is a little bigger can help. So we plant the trees, or we reduce the size of our manufacturing footprint, or we take on some larger projects. But the mindset simply has to be, the action I take, is it doing good?
Yes. I love that. So what advice would you offer to our listeners who are interested in making a positive impact in the world, whether in their personal lives or through their work? Something concrete that they can just say, okay, I can do that.
Depending on where you are and who you are, there are simple things, right? So the 10-second pause. Do I need to purchase that? If you're a homeowner, you know, reduce your pesticides. Let your grass grow. You know, let it be a place where insects and bees can inhabit, because that's important too. Do I need to drive? Can I take a train? Those kinds of decisions, those kinds of actions, and talk about it. Talk about it with your friends. I went to a networking event that was at someone's home, and she had food, and she had all these plastic containers and all these plastic water bottles. And as we went around the table and all introduced ourselves, and I introduced myself to, you know, what I do, she just looked at me and she went, "Oh, this isn't very sustainable, is it?" And I said, "No, not really." I said, you know, your water bottles, hopefully you recycle them. And the plastic containers, they're reusable. Do you wash them and reuse them, at least in your own home?" "Oh, I don't really." Well, that would be a step in the right direction. So continue to host these. And if you purchase the food and they come in these plastic containers are reusable. Or wash them right there and give people, you know, dessert goodie bags. Here, you can take some dessert home with you and send everyone off with this plastic container. So you've used it. Now they're going to use it. Now it'll be in their home to use again, instead of turning what can be reused into waste. And yeah. So it can be simple. And the more you take steps, the more you'll see other steps. When I go food shopping, I try not to purchase the vegetables or the fruit that are in plastic containers. You know, you start to see sustainability everywhere you look, or lack of it. I do order online, and I've started to notice that I'm getting paper bags, not plastic or the bubble wrap kind of thing when mm-hmm. I'm getting them. I'm seeing that the packaging has become smaller, that they're not putting a lot of filler in. So the things that are getting delivered, I have to say, from the places I'm ordering, I'm starting to see a difference in that I can now recycle the paper that they shipped it in, or the box that they shipped it in.
Which is very important. So just kind of like fun fact, 68% of paper is being recycled, versus for plastic, we're talking between 7 to 9%, which is horrible, but at least we're making a step in the right direction. So obviously avoiding the use of single-use plastic is best. Ellen, you mentioned trees. So I'll finish with a question I ask all my guests on this podcast. What is your favorite tree?
My favorite tree is a maple tree. And the reason for that is because when I was a kid growing up in Massachusetts, in front of my house was a huge maple tree. And every year the seeds would fall, and you can break those apart. They get sticky. And I remember as a kid, we would stick them on our faces and make little mustaches out of them. but I also remember as I started to get older, I was able to climb the tree. And one day, and I only did this once, I climbed the tree high enough to look over the roof of my house. And that was exhilarating and scary at the same time. It did take me a little while to get down, but I have, you know, wonderful childhood memories about this just big, beautiful maple tree that seemed to be, you know, protecting my home.
Beautiful. I love that. Thank you, Ellen, for sharing your passion.
It's been a pleasure being here, Tally. Thank you so much for the conversation and for all the great work you're doing spreading the message as well.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining me today. We are all beautiful butterflies, each in his and her individual ways. I wanted to thank you for joining me today in this episode. I really appreciate you coming on this journey with me, and I hope you can join me next time. And remember, it only takes a small action to make a big difference. Be a butterfly.
And that's all for this episode. Thank you for joining us today. Please subscribe to hear more of our stories of change.